Hey. Hello. Oh, my goodness. The song is running out. Welcome to a Friday night program. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in yet again. I don't know. You must keep coming back to this program for some reason. Well, thank you for doing that. Tonight we'll be giving away a podcast gift subscription to the Malloy program. Probably next hour. Just answer the trivia question and you get one free. By the way, you know, we're running a buy one, get one free at the website. You buy a podcast subscription for $56.40 and you get a second one free. Dear God. I mean, what are you waiting for? We only do this around the, it's just, you know, a celebration of the birth of the baby Jesus and, the winter solstice and Hanukkah and what else comes? I don't know. But, if you want to get a 2-for-1, go to MikeMalloy.com and it's there. This hour is, first hour tonight is sponsored once again by Alice in Arkansas. She owns Healin' Hollers. She has a website, healinhollers.com. And if you go to the website, you're going to find no thundering crowds, no police, no private security, no tasers, no pepper spray. Just a peaceful moment online at healinhollers.com for luscious creams, fragrant essential oils, and soothing salves and lip balms. Your personal and holiday needs. I mean, what a nice way to do Christmas. Or, you know, whatever you're doing, giving gifts. But truly, products from Healin' Hollers. You can get this stuff and then with your significant other, sit around and touch each other. You know, rub it on, stroke it. Ow! And if you haven't tried this whipped shea mint yet, you better try it. Whipped shea mint. Now, I said the other night, half kidding, if for some reason you don't want to put it on your body, you can put it on your toast in the morning. I recommend your body, though. Great stuff. Seriously. Alice at Healin' Hollers has been a steady sponsor for us, and she has, and one of the reasons she has such incredibly good products. So go there. Healin-Hollers.com. Where to begin? Where to begin? You know, I talk about the racism of so many of these right-wingers. And, of course, you know, they try to pretend it's not there. But it is. Like Neil Bortz, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, all of them. You know, they're all essentially all these middle-aged white guys. At bottom, they are just racist to the core. Absolutely. And by racist, I don't mean necessarily just African Americans. Any ethnic group that is not pale skinned to people like Limbaugh are a direct threat. And he should take it that way, because the day will come at some point where Rush may be turned on a spit for dinner by somebody. But, anyway, Limbaugh accused President Obama of thinking that Hanukkah was Kwanzaa on his Friday radio show. Did you hear about this? Yesterday, Thursday, President Obama was referring to the White House Hanukkah celebration where all, you know, 8 candles of the menorah are lit. Obama acknowledged that the ceremony was taking place ahead of time and jokingly warned parents against letting their kids think that Hanukkah lasts 20 days. No. So today, Limbaugh moves his large, obese corpus into his chair, turns on his broadcast apparatus, and says that Obama lit all the candles because, oh, you know, he thought it was Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa also has a candelabra. Candelabra? Limbaugh said this about Kwanzaa. It was seven candles instead of eight for Hanukkah, and he lighted them all at once. So Obama had a menorah there. He lit them all at once. I'm sure he thought it was Kwanzaa. He also mocked the origins and of Kwanzaa. He said Kwanzaa was founded to, end the Christmas season exploitation of African Americans. Was it all the black Santa Clauses that were out there in the department stores? Aren't Negroes funny? Hey, what about that Tiger Woods? Jesus, God. Yeah, one of these times, Limbaugh, every time I hear his name, it just reminds me of a pig roast. It does. And I think, you know, as the population gets out of control and as we all slip into doomsville, you know, Bob Alexander wrote the other night, right? Or when that happens, Limbaugh will be found and put on a spit and turned very slowly over, a wood fire. And the irony will be, it will be wood from trees chopped down in the Amazon. So, you know, Limbaugh will, even as he's being roasted for dinner, you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that he's being roasted for dinner over old growth forest wood. Right, Rush? Huh? Right? Jesus. Rick Perry steps on his foot again. He was talking with the editorial board at the Des Moines Register, a right-wing paper if ever there was one, and he couldn't think of Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor's name. An editorial board member referring to Perry's recent ad pledging to end Obama's war on religion. Jesus, God. Oh, Rick, you're going to be on the spit next to Limbaugh. You know that? You freak. Yeah, Perry, when he's president, he's going to end Obama's war on religion. How are you going to do that, Rick? And he's also going to fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Really? Attacks? From whom? Except me. I think all y'all are crazy, but what are you going to do, Rick? You're going to... Oh, never mind. So, the editorial board member said, do you really think President Barack Obama is waging war on religion? And this is Perry's answer. I do, because when you see his appointments of two, from my perspective, inarguably, activist judges, whether it was... Mayor, at that point, someone on the editorial board said Sotomayor's name. Sotomayor and Kagan were both activist judges. So after this example of once again stepping on his own foot, Perry mentioned the eight unelected Supreme Court justices when discussing school prayer. Of course, the Supreme Court has nine, but Rick Perry is a dumb ass. He makes George Bush look brilliant, doesn't he? Have you ever seen anybody like this? I don't know. I'm not talking about Rick Perry because he's a threat to any, even one chance in a trillion that he will ever be elected anything except the dumbass governor of Texas. But it's just another example of this Republican field of liars, morons, people who are grossly ignorant, adulterers, people who believe... Oh, never mind. Oh, he also said in this ad, Perry was asked about comparing gays openly serving in the military to children being able to celebrate Christmas in school. Someplace in that ad, Perry says, you know, when I'm the president, he said, you need to elect me president because right now it's easier for gays to serve in the military than it is for children to acknowledge Christmas. I don't know. Never mind. Jesus.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain, that's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes!
This bastard is sick, he's a fat mom, this big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Toby Bob! Manipulate. because they're stupid. It's not just because they're scum. It's just...
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, 21 past the hour. How about this this Donald Trump circle jerk that he tried to get together with the right-wing Republicans? But I repeat myself. It's just falling apart. Who's agreed to come so far? Newt Gingrich and... Sick Santorum. I wonder if Santorum will bring his little jar of dead babies with him. Anyway, Michelle Bachmann, you know it's bad when Bachmann says no. Bachmann says no. You know, it's not necessarily Trump. Trump is a freak. He's just a clown. He's, I don't know. I have a feeling he sucks his thumb. Do you ever notice when he's not talking? I realize that's fairly rare these days. But if you look at his mouth when he's not talking, you see the mouth of someone who sucks their thumb or sucks something for real. If you take a look, it looks like a baby's mouth where, you know, they're sucking. They're always sucking their fingers, a bottle, nursing, whatever. That's what his cigars. Well, he's sucking something, Kathy. I don't know. But anyway, it's not Trump that's making everybody say no thanks. It's the fact that it's being sponsored by Newsmax. Newsmax! That's an online sewer of right-wing drivel and crazy people. And it's fun to go to Newsmax once in a while just to read, not their articles. Their articles are the typical Fox, Rupert Murdoch terror broadcast organization kind of swill. But what's fun about going to Newsmax is to go there and read the comments from some of the people that post there. It's a real trip into insanity, I'm telling you. But that's why even these crazed Republicans don't want to be associated with Newsmax. Donald Trump, now look, use your head. Every one of them is going to see the Donald, right? I don't know if Michelle has, but maybe her husband did. But they've all made the trip to this this Pillsbury Doughboy Kingmaker wannabe with the funny hair. So it's not Trump. It's Newsmax. Nobody wants to even get near that website or near any of the people who run it. Can you imagine someone who is dedicated to saving the republic, like, oh, I don't know, Ron Paul, being questioned by Donald Trump at an event sponsored by Newsmax? Oh, my God. Ah. Anyway, Trump said he was very disappointed that Michelle has turned him down. He said... And this speaks volumes. Trump said Gingrich had the courage to immediately say yes. Courage? You know who I am very disappointed in? Michelle Bachmann. She came up to see me 4 times. Yes, she did go to see him. She would call me and ask me for advice. She said if she wins, she would like to think about me for the vice presidency. God, Trump, you are such a piece of baby vomit. You really do think you're something, don't you? Huh? I'll bet you dollars to donuts his breath stinks, too. You know, he really does. Then he kept going. Most importantly, I did a 2-hour phone call for her with people. With her people. And people said, are you endorsing her? And the answer was no. And after all that, she announced she was not going to do the debate? It's called loyalty. How do you do that? It's amazing to me. Yeah, Donald, you're loyal. Christ, you're not even loyal to your wife or kids or wives or kids or wives or kids. You know, between Newt and Trump, how many wives do they have? 7? 14? That many? Bachman's spokeswoman told ABC News yesterday that Bachman will not participate in the debate. Mitt Romney's people said they will not participate. John Huntsman's people said, hey, are you kidding me? Rick Perry, he didn't know who to talk to, so he just said, no, whoever's asked me, no, no, no. Ron Paul just kind of turned and walked the other way. And the Republican National Committee chairman, Reince Priebus, said yesterday he was concerned about Republican candidates participating in the debate because Trump is still considering running as an independent. Oh, please, please let that happen. Please let that happen. Former Bush White House senior advisor Karl Rove, standing deep inside his kettle, turned to the pot in which Trump was standing, and Rove said,
well, he's got a giant ego trip. That's what he's got.
Oh, God, this is the most bizarre political season I've ever seen. In the meantime, Barack Obama, who should be challenged by progressives and liberals in primaries and is not, Barack Obama just floats above all this and looks down on these ants, these trolls, these little creatures running around.
I'm going to be president. No, I'm going to be. No, I'm going to be. No, I'm going to be president. No, you're not. I am too. No, you're not. You've been married too many times. Are you crazy? Oh, shut up. Sit down. I'm going to be president.
Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It's about 25 before the hour. Hot, hot, hot. This hour is brought to you by Heal and Hollers in Arkansas. And our friend Alice there, healin-hollers.com is her website. And she has good stuff at that website. You need to check this out. As Alice writes, no thundering crowds, no police, no private security, no tasers, no pepper spray. Just a peaceful moment online at healin-hollers.com for luscious screams, fragrant essential oils and soothing salves and lip balms for your personal and holiday needs. You need to go there. The lemon hemp cream is beyond belief. I always thought until I had the whipped shea mint. Oh, my God. I think Alice has worked out some kind of a pact with the wee folk that live in the forests in the Ozarks. And they bring her things to make this stuff with. I'm serious. You got to try it. She's our sponsor this hour. Thank you, Alice. Income inequality in the U.S. is something that is of concern to most people who understand what causes bloody revolution. To Republican candidates for public office, it doesn't mean anything. The ultra-wealthy themselves have made it very clear, most of them, that where it concerns income inequality, they're fully aware and are much or more than willing to accept a tax increase to get this country out of the mess it's in, as if that would do it. But at least the gesture is considerate. One of the things, you know, a lot of people say, well, God, I'm glad that Occupy Wall Street or whatever the hell it was called is gone. The initial thrust into the collective consciousness that was Occupy Wall Street has succeeded. How often, if ever, have you seen, other than the civil rights movement, where all of a sudden, from nowhere, in this particular instance, people are talking about, it's become part of the national dialogue, what Occupy Wall Street was all about to begin with. Oh, you know, they didn't have any leadership. They didn't have a list of demands. What the hell are they, commie? They're not even commie. Commies have demands. If nothing else happened at all with Occupy Wall Street, the Occupy movement, and there is a lot being planned, trust me. But even if nothing happened, the fact that there was a bolt of awareness thrust into the consciousness of everybody in this country about income inequality and how destructive it has become, how ludicrous it is, how vile, how perfectly representative of what happens when capitalism controls government and government no longer has the ability, the wherewithal, the energy, whatever, to put the brakes on unbridled predatory capitalism. This is what happens. You want another good example? First of all, the inequality of income in the country right now is currently at the highest it's been since the 1920s. You have to go back almost 100 years. We're in a situation here where the 400 richest Americans, who are all billionaires, have as much wealth as the bottom 50% of Americans combined. Now, that's 150, 160 million of us. 400 individuals or families have more accumulated wealth than 160 million Americans. Now, that is a recipe for violent revolution. And that's not me talking, although I'm not the least bit ashamed or reluctant to say it, but that is an historical fact. Now, not only that, as it turns out, just one family has managed to amass a fortune equal to that of the combined net worth of the bottom 30% of Americans. 30% of Americans. 100 million Americans. One family has a fortune equal to 100 million Americans. The net worth of 100 million Americans. Do you know who that family is? Oh, come on. Yes, you do. Of course you know. You know who it is. The Walton family. Walmart? Ah. Sylvia Allegretto, a labor economist at the Center on Wage and Employment Dynamics, found the following, quote, "The Triennial Survey of Consumer Finances, SCF, is one of the best sources for data on wealth in the United States. And, of course, the Forbes 400 estimates the worth of the wealthiest among us. All 400 wouldn't be captured in the Survey of Consumer Finances. If we look at both the SCF and the Forbes 400, we can glean some interesting insights. In 2007, the most recent survey of consumer finances, the cumulative wealth of the Forbes 400 was $1.54 trillion, or roughly the same amount of wealth held by the entire bottom 50% of American families. This is a stunning statistic, no matter how you look at it. But upon closer inspection, the Forbes list reveals that six Waltons, all children, one daughter-in-law, of Sam or James Walton, the founders of Walmart, were on the list. The combined worth of the Walton six was nearly $70 billion in 2007, which equates to the total wealth of the entire bottom 30% of people in this country. Now, not only have the Waltons gathered a fortune, equal to that of 100 million Americans, but they also spend a lot of their money lobbying to cut their taxes further. Can you goddamn believe this? Six people with a net worth of $70 billion, and these greedy, filthy, slimy sons of bitches want more? What is enough? Dear God, what is enough? Ah! For years, the Waltons have been supporting efforts to cut the estate tax. Or, as the dumbass Republicans call it, the death tax. They're going to death tax you. Yeah, right. The tax levied on inheritance. Conservatives intent on cutting this tax, even lower than it already is, led to Obama agreeing to a compromise last year that lowered the rate and increased the tax-free exemption, giving a senseless tax break to extremely wealthy families. Now, what's extremely wealthy? Well, when six people have as much wealth as 100 million, that's extreme wealth. What do you think? Now, brain dead Republicans out there in La La Land, like, say, well, you know, someday I might have $1 billion. I don't see anything wrong with these people making all this money. This is the family responsible for destroying local economies. Utterly destroy. How many little towns, or not even little towns, have you gone through where a Walmart was built and all the economic activity of that town, every single mom and pop or operation, whether it was a local drugstore or a dry goods store, or a sewing shop or a grocery store, sucked into the vortex of Walmart? How many families were bankrupted by Walmart, right? How about manufacturing overseas? Walmart demanding low prices, cheap junk to sell to stupid Americans. Now, we could be making this cheap junk right here. Of course, in my opinion, it would be better quality cheap junk. But Walmart said to the manufacturers, nah-uh, listen up. You're paying your people $14 an hour to produce cheap junk. You're going to have to do better than that. Get your factories in China where you can pay them $14 a day for cheap junk. Then we'll buy it from you. And, of course, the manufacturers said, sure, okay. So now Walmart has been flooding America with cheap Chinese-made products. Walmart has done more to build the Chinese economy and destroy ours than any other retail organization in the country, on Earth. Hell is a place too good for these people.
You see those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just gonna sit there till they rot, cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack, just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the square, there's a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. Still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd's getting thinner each day. Some are maxed out.
Just had another cup of coffee. It's Mike Malloy.
Time for retribution. Here comes the revolution. Time for retribution.
Before the hour, And one last thing about income inequality and wealth disparity in this country. According to the Congressional Budget Office, for the 1% of the population with the highest income, average real after-tax household income grew by 275% between 1979 and 2000. In the same period, for the bottom 20% of the population, it grew 18%. In a given year, the richest 10% of the country, 10% now, not one, 10%, not one family, not 400 families, but the richest 10% of the country takes home about a quarter of total income. But Congress still saw fit last year to give a tax break to the very richest families who have collected fortunes that dwarf anything the rest of the country will ever see. How did that happen? Because the Waltons get out there and build stores and get behind the counter and sell stuff? Please. Sick bastards. Boy, I'll tell you, the day will come. It will indeed. But on a lighter note, this hour has been sponsored by Alice at Helen-Hollers.com. No, she's not a capitalist. She's an entrepreneur. Alice runs that company, Helen Hollers. She has a website. We have a ad up on our site, MikeMalloy.com. But you can go Helen-Hollers.com. And she's offering, once again, no thundering crowds, no police, no private security, no tasers, no pepper spray, no stampede through the front door. Just a peaceful moment online at Helen-Hollers.com for luscious creams, fragrant essential oils, and soothing salves and lip balms for your personal and holiday needs. And I'm telling you, that is, I am so glad. I don't know how, if she found us or we found her, but I'm so glad to have access to the things that Alice makes. You got to try some of these. The Swift Shea Mint is the newest. Shea butter, grapeseed oil, and essential oil of peppermint. And it's just stunning. I thought the lemon hemp, what is it, lemon hemp oil or cream? Lemon hemp cream. I thought that was, and I'm down to about one more fingerful. So I'm going to have to go to our website too. That'll be me in the front of the line. Check her out. Will you please? Alice at Helen Hollers. Alice, thanks for the support and thanks for the, for the sponsorship tonight. 7 before the hour. Bottom of next hour, we're going to do podcast trivia. Oh, and I guess I might as well tell you, also at the bottom of the next hour, Molly is going to do her first ever radio commercial. Sponsor. It's one of our newer sponsors. Keepworthy.com, Christopher Hovey, children's books. And she got a couple of these books. So talking with Kathy the other day, you know, Molly said, well, I can talk about that. So we're going to let her. Uh-oh. Karl Rove's latest attack on Elizabeth Warren. Have you heard about this? Elizabeth Warren, who is out polling now Scott Brown to take the Senate seat away from him in next year's election. Elizabeth Warren being the person who set up the Consumer Financial Protection Organization that the Republicans, I don't know. They're going berserk about this because their owners, the Republican members of Congress, their owners, the thugs and liars and cheats and defrauders on Wall Street, are terrified that this bureaucracy is going to make them play fair, play by the rules. Oh no, that can't. No, please. So the people that they own in the Senate are refusing to confirm Barack Obama's appointment to head this agency. They never would have confirmed Elizabeth Warren, so she bailed out and said, okay, you see this? This is right next to my ring finger. Take a good look, because I'm going to go back to Massachusetts to become a senator. So in the meantime, we talked about this last night extensively. Obama has threatened or decided that he is going to make recess appointment to put the man that he's chosen to head this agency to work. Well, Karl Rove now is attacking Elizabeth Warren. The last thing Karl Rove wants is Elizabeth Warren in the Senate. He's now saying that Elizabeth Warren is responsible for the Troubled Asset Relief Program and for bank bailouts. That she's responsible. First, Carl tried to paint her as being a sympathizer and the godmother of the Occupy Wall Street movement. That went over like a pork chop at a bar mitzvah. So now Karl Rove is trying to paint her as someone who came up with the TARP program and bailed out the banks. Even though the TARP program was proposed and implemented by George W. Bush. Oh, there's more. We'll do some more when we come back. You know, Karl Rove is another one. He's going to be on a spit right next to Limbaugh. Trust me. I get the ham. We'll be back. Stay with us. It is 7 past the hour. Bottom of this hour, we are going to give away a one-year subscription to Molloy Program Podcasts. A subscription to podcast downloads or uploads or sideloads, whatever. All you have to do is get the right answer to the question. And for the first time ever in podcast trivia, I'll give you a hint. The question pertains to Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
All right. We have a sponsor this hour too. Christopher Hovey, once again, thanks, Chris. And his message, is it his wife, Kathy? Is it he and his wife? I know it's just two people, a man and a woman. They have keepworthy.com. Keepworthy.com. Children's books and keepsake gifts that go with the books that, you know, teach kids some lessons of, you know, nothing real hard life lessons, but, it's a gentle kind of teaching. He sent us two of the books and, Molly read them and liked them. And, I want you to check out his website, if you would please, keepworthy.com. And, you can order fine children's books and keepsake gifts there. You can even read about the reindeer who has to wear glasses in Randall's Christmas Vision. Stuff like that. It's fun reading, and the kind of reading that as a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle, you can feel secure in buying some of these books for kids for holiday gifts. and I think you will appreciate it. So check him out. Check him out. Keepworthy.com. Keepworthy.com. Thanks for the sponsorship, Chris. Yeah, Karl Rove. I just want to finish this up. Karl Rove's attacks now on Elizabeth Warren. He is he's running ads, attack ads, on television, or on, I don't know, cable, whatever. Beyond ludicrous. I guess they're all running in Massachusetts. Beyond ludicrous. Into massively insane. The ad he runs now attempts to blame Elizabeth Warren for the TARP program and for the bank bailouts. It's her fault. And the principle that Rove always uses is that when the truth can't be twisted and bent and made to scream the way you want it to, make stuff up. It's very simple. Only I wouldn't say stuff if I were just on Sirius XM. You know what I'm saying, though. Make stuff up. TARP was a Republican program put in place by George W. Bush. At the time the TARP went into operation, Elizabeth Warren was busy championing people whose rights had been trampled by the financial sector through various kinds of abuses. So writes Simon Johnson at the Baseline Scenario. Picked up by Truthout. Ms. Warren became chair of the Congressional Oversight Panel for TARP precisely because people in Congress, on both sides of the aisle, trusted her to provide an honest and professional check on the support provided to financial firms. She did her highest profile work during the Obama administration, bringing relentless pressure on the Treasury and other agencies who just wanted to prop up big firms without any conditions. And that's one of the reasons she's not there any longer. Yeah, she was a wave maker. And capitalism does not want wave makers unless they own the machine that makes the waves. Then it's okay. They didn't own Elizabeth Warren. So Elizabeth Warren decided to bail out of this armed madhouse that is, you know, Washington, D.C., at least on the level she was at, and go run for the United States Senate. And she's going to be the next senator for Massachusetts. She's a strong supporter of all the efforts to rein in those too big to fail banks, including by breaking them up. She's a trust buster, so to speak. Back at the turn of the 20th century, from the 19th to the 20th, the trust busters back then focused on Standard Oil of New Jersey, Standard Oil or New York. Which one was it, Prairie 2? I'm sure he'll send me an email within the next 5 seconds. But it was the Standard Oil conglomerate that they went after when the 19th century became the 20th. How'd that work out, huh? Oh, that worked out real good, didn't it? Yeah, okay. That's what ExxonMobil is now, I believe. But Elizabeth Warren went after the banks and the financial services industry, so-called. The only thing they service is their own greed. Now, at the same time, Elizabeth Warren did not demonize the financial sector. On the contrary, when charged with setting up the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, she went out of her way to work closely with those in the financial sector who provide sensible products with reasonable conditions. And all she asked for, or what she asked for, throughout the process was transparency, fairness, and full disclosure in the financial sector. Oh, my God. Transparency, fairness, and full disclosure. And that's why Karl Rove wants to gut her. That's why the too big to fail banks, that's why the predatory capitalists want to end her career as quickly as they can. Because Elizabeth Warren, advocates transparency, fairness, and full disclosure in the financial sector. And as Simon Johnson points out, you're not allowed to sell dangerous toasters in the U.S. So why should you be allowed to sell financial products that have been proven equally dangerous? Well, we know the answer to that one, don't you? So the people of Massachusetts hopefully will not listen to this filthy Karl Rove and this crazed deception that he has going. My God. But this is typical Republican political play. If you cannot produce a truth in trying to point out why Republicans should not vote for candidate A, then what you do is produce lies to convince the bobbleheads why they should not vote for the same candidate. If you can't come up with something factual, lie. Lie and lie. This is why it is so easy for someone like me to make comparison, Nazi comparisons, to people like Karl Rove. This is precisely out of the Nazi, the Joseph Goebbels playbook. So what are we supposed to do here, huh? You know, when this monster Glenn Beck uses a Nazi reference, it's usually against very peaceful people working for social justice. When I make a Nazi reference, or someone like me makes a Nazi reference, it's because it's real. It's right out of their playbook. And Rove knows this. The big lie. You tell it enough times, and the proletariat starts to suck it up. That's almost a direct dictum from the Nazi propaganda machine. Just keep repeating the lie and use the media to do it over and over and over again. So that's why. We got to take a break here. Let's take a break here. I got to catch my breath. We'll be right back.
There once you didn't, you freaking liar. You lied to us, you freaking liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You freaking liar. You freaking liar.
The world has changed after September the 11th. Because we're no longer safe.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
You've lied to us, you frickin' liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You frickin' liar. You frickin' liar. Your greed.
They were shining there for you and me. Believe the Fernando. Though we never thought that we could lose, there's no regret.
Didn't Newt Gingrich say something about putting elementary school kids to work? Okay, let's give it a try. What the hell?
Hi, my name is Molly Malloy, and this hour of the program is sponsored by KeepWorthy.com. They sent me two books, and I really liked them a lot. One was about a reindeer named Randall who had to wear eyeglasses and couldn't pull Santa's sleigh. So he and his friends came up with a really awesome way to celebrate and decorate for Christmas. And it's pretty cool what they decided to do. It's called Randall's Christmas Vision. And I enjoyed reading it and really liked that it came with a special ornament shaped like a star with a reindeer on it. We're putting that on the tree. The pictures in the book were beautiful, too. I think any kid would love to get this book and ornament for Christmas. So go to KeepWorthy.com and look at it for yourself.
Oh, no. Really? Check them out. KeepWorthy.com. for children's books. Is she a member of AFTRA? Not yet. Not ever. And she tried to stay up tonight to hear her first commercial, and sure enough, she's over here on the bed in the studio fast asleep. She just couldn't. And right before she toddled over to go to sleep, and Rusty, the dog, is all cuddled up with her over there, she said, "It's okay, I'm getting tired, but I just want to know what people think of what I did, okay?" I said, "Okay, Molly, I'll ask people to send you emails. How's that?" So, she's pretty good. All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're looking for podcast trivia players, because I want to give away a one-year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads. As retail value of $56.40, and you can have it for free. All you have to do is get the trivia question correct, which we will be doing this after the next break, which comes up here in about 4 minutes. So, and it concerns Newt Gingrich. So, if you want to take a shot at answering the program, I mean answering the question. God, you got to be careful what you say, right? Those worms and cockroaches over there at Newsmax and Red State and the rest of these places. Oh, he's talking about taking a shot at Newt. No. If you want to take a shot at the trivia question, you halfwits. God, if there wasn't so much at stake that is so critical to the continuation of life on Earth as we know it, Republicans would be so much fun to just toy with, you know, just to jerk them around, because they are such dolts. I swear to God, but it's much too serious than that. What we're going to do here is there's a couple more items that I have, and then for the rest of the program, after we do that, and after we do podcast trivia, we're going to kind of open it up for your phone calls. You know, I get the same criticism a lot from people listening to the program. Well, you don't take enough phone calls. Well, you're right. I very seldom do. Well, you don't have enough guests. Well, you're right. I don't. If you want to hear guests from a liberal perspective, there's Tom Hartman. And I think, doesn't Bob Kincaid take phone calls? I think he does. But we just do the program here a little bit differently. Not that one way's better or worse. It's just, the way we do it. So, after we get through the next segment, though, we are going to open up the phones and, take your calls. Let's see what you got to say. There's just so many things going on, and it's incredible. In Durban, South Africa, is a conference that literally is determining the fate of the Earth. While back here in the United States, we have murder clowns like Donald Trump, and halfwits like Rick Perry, and would-be Napoleons like Newt Gingrich running around like their asses were all on fire, trying to convince the American public that if they're elected, they will put prayer back in the schools and make sure that those dirty, rotten, filthy scientists no longer have anything remotely resembling primacy where it concerns school textbooks or rational thought. I mean, this is just madness. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. next time, once again, ladies and germs, for podcast trivia here on the Malloy Program. Where a correct answer to our trivia question will get you a one-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads, commercial-free, and full of all the fun and frivolity that you've come to expect. Or something like that. So, let's give it a shot here. Who's the unlucky first person here? Kathy? It's Alan in Alameda, California. Hello, Alan.
Wow, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Yeah, how often do you win a new car, right? No, just kidding. All right.
Anything I win is something better than that.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, sometimes I will call up on a radio commercial or oldie station or something, and if I win two tickets to a film, I don't know. You can't touch me for a week. I just feel like I'm walking on air.
I feel like a special person.
All right, are you ready? Start the music, Kathy. All right, here's your question, Alan. And wait until we finish with all the possible choices before you answer. All right, here we go. Which of the following are true of Newt Gingrich? A, he cheated on his first wife. B, he cheated on his second wife. C, he led a Republican shutdown of the government when he was Speaker of the House because the president, Bill Clinton, made him ride in the back of Air Force One on a return trip to the U.S. from Israel. D, he resigned his position as Speaker after saying his congressional colleagues were cannibals. E, 84 ethics charges were filed against him while Speaker, the most of any member of Congress in U.S. history. Or F, all of the above and more.
I got a better one.
Yeah, what's that?
Repulsive con zombie flesh eater.
All right. What's the answer to the trivia question?
All of above.
All of the above, all right. You're absolutely right. I realize that was a very difficult question, but I appreciate the fact that you hung with it and you win. All right, now listen, before we go.
Mike, yes. Before you hang up and before I lose you, I'll probably never talk to you again because 960 apparently is going underwater or twisting something in the wind.
No, you want me to tell you what they're doing is just getting rid of all the liberals and switching format. You'll be able to hear Glenn Beck on that station now. And I and a few other so-called liberals are going to be moving to a high-definition radio, FM radio station in the Bay Area. So
it's a money grab, so they're going to find a way to grab more money. But before I leave, I'd like to say I was looking up Fukushima today.
Yeah?
The atomic thing in Japan. And somehow I came upon commondreams.org. This is a great website.
What is it again?
Common Dreams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. I've been using Common Dreams for 10 years. Yeah.
There was an article that I feel everyone should read. I hope you might have read it already, but it's by William L. Robinson, and it's called Global Rebellion, the Coming Chaos. And it is so enlightening. I hope people can find this article.
If it's on commondreams.org, I'll certainly pick it up, all right?
And one of the stipulations on this article is the concentration of control over the mass media.
Yes.
This is something that's coming. And also, a war of capitalism against all. That's what's happening. The war of capitalism against all. And the political elites are bereft and disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
They're disoriented. They don't understand what's going on themselves. They're confused. And I think the Occupier movement is starting to make these elites confused and disoriented. and they don't know what the next move is. But they're going to try and control the mass media. That's one of the first steps.
Well, so control the mass media is almost a fait accompli already. When you take a look at how few broadcast corporations there are left, none of them respond any longer to public demand or to input. When their license renewals come up, it's just a pro forma move where the license is renewed no matter how many complaints may have been filed against the radio station. The FCC just looks at it and kind of smiles and winks and moves on. So it's already happened. What is going on, though, is a continuation of the consolidation, an act that was signed into law. It was written by Republicans and signed into law by Bill Clinton. So we have a Democrat, Bill Clinton, and a Republican, Ronald Reagan, to blame for all this. It was the Reagan administration that signed off on the idea that there didn't need to be equal time or fairness in broadcasting. It had to do with political candidates, in fact, and it had to do with local issues when the FCC ruled it. But once the ruling was out there, then all of a sudden there was no longer any need to present two points of view. And since corporate radio is owned by, well, corporations, that's the only point of view that is going to be allowed. And it took him about 25 or 30 years, but it's finally come to pass. Clinton gave him a boost with the idea of consolidation. It used to be that publishing or broadcast entities could only own or control one or two major outlets within a city, a market. That's gone now. So you get to a point where you have the same corporation controlling 5, 6, 7 stations in a huge market, and they will dictate what goes on over the air, not the listeners. Listeners are superfluous. They're incidental. They don't mean anything anymore. There are some radio stations that will still say, well, you know, we tried liberal programming, but we couldn't get any advertising because nobody listened.
That's not economical. They're losing money.
That's not true. It's absolutely not true. What the truth is that the broadcasters will be told by corporate America, now we're not going to back that program. We're not going to back your station. You got too many of these left-wing screamers on, and we're not interested in that. And, I get their point. I understand that. Hey, listen, Alan, I'm going to put you on hold, and Kathy is going to pick up and get the pertinent information, and, congratulations. I'm glad you won podcast trivia. Alan in Alameda, California is our winner. Although, I have to say, it wasn't that hard of a question. No offense. No offense. I saw this today. And thought, yeah, well, okay. You know, this is why capitalism wants regulatory agencies destroyed and why the Republicans respond, because their constituency, the Republican Party's constituency, is capitalist predators or predatory capitalism. The story is out of the West in Wyoming. According to the New York Times, chemicals used to hydraulically fracture rocks in drilling for natural gas, you know, fracking, in a remote valley in central Wyoming, those chemicals are causing contaminated local water supplies. That's according to federal regulators in a report released yesterday. The report comes after a 3-year study by the EPA. This is why the right wingers want the EPA destroyed. Every single time one of these right wing pigs opens his or her mouth, one of the first things is, well, I got to get rid of the EPA. You know, they're stopping the job creators, you know, which is just goddamn absolute lies. What the EPA used to do, and sometimes still makes a feeble attempt to do, is to make sure that predatory capitalism doesn't destroy everything too quickly. They will still destroy it, everything on Earth. and the earth. But the EPA is kind of a braking mechanism. Well, they don't want the braking mechanism anymore. Well, you know, you've heard now, haven't you? How many times have you heard that fracking, the hydraulically fracturing rocks in order to get at, this is like a dog ripping a bone to pieces to get at the marrow. You ever see a dog do that? He'll just chew right through the goddamn thing. If he breaks his teeth, he doesn't care. Because he wants to get to the marrow. This is what the energy companies are doing, even though the EPA now has proof of something that is has been warned about ever since fracking began. More when we come back. This is pure child exploitation, isn't it? But we have one more here for you. Christopher Hovey is the sponsor of this hour, and he has this company, keepworthy.com is the website. They publish children's books, keepworthy.com, and he sent a couple to us. We gave them to Molly, and here's her second commercial. This is about, isn't this about the second book? The first one about Randall and the glasses or something? Or no, Bucky the Beaver or... here's the commercial.
Hi, it's Molly again, and this hour of the program is sponsored by KeepWorthy.com. They sent me two books. I told you about Randall the reindeer with eyeglasses. The other book is called Baxter's Big Teeth, and it was about a beaver who hadn't gotten his grown-up teeth yet and couldn't help build a dam. So he ran away from home. But he met a little boy who taught him about baby teeth, and the two became friends. I know what it feels like to want to grow up fast, so you can do things like drive a car or have an iPhone. So this book was fun to read. Oh, and it came with a beautiful little round box to keep your baby teeth in, so you won't lose them before you can get them to the tooth fairy. This is very important, because the tooth fairy gives you money for your teeth. Go to keepworthy.com and look at this book. It's a very good one for kids.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, we knew this day would come, right? Christopher Hovey has sponsored this second hour tonight. And it's his website, keepworthy.com, for five children's books and keepsake gifts that go with the books that teach life's little lessons. So... check him out.
Just in case you folks were missing some of that in Molly's little high-pitched voice, each book comes with a keepsake gift. So the first book came with a Christmas ornament that's shaped like a reindeer and a star. And this one comes with a little pewter box for your baby teeth. Why are you looking at me so funny?
Well, I was just saying that.
Well, I thought I might say it.
Oh, okay.
So I've said it.
Anyway, thanks, Chris, for the sponsorship. Go to his website, keepworthy.com. And if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or if you have an adult in your family who happens to be Republican, they might enjoy this too. You know, it's written for kids. Oh, jeez. Okay. Oh, yeah, the fracking. So the EPA, after a three-year study, they have found that, you know, people out there were complaining. First of all, they were complaining about the water smelled and tasted a little bit different all of a sudden in central Wyoming. So EPA went to work, and after a three-year study, and by the way, the study represents a new scientific and political skirmish line now over whether fracking poses a threat in the dozens, if not hundreds, of places around the nation where it's now being used to extract previously unreachable energy resources locked within rock. I understand they can get oil this way now, too. But this is, what was the movie that was about this, where the guy turns on his water spigot and lights it? But anyway, the study was prompted by complaints from local people out there about the smell and the taste of their water. And the study stressed that local conditions were unusual at the site. It's called the Pavilion Field, in that the gas wells are a lot shallower than in many other drilling areas around the country. The shallow depth means that natural gas itself can seep upward naturally through the rock and perhaps into aquifers. So this is what they had to find out. But the suite of chemicals found in the two test wells drilled at the site, the report said, could not be explained by natural processes. The EPA's analysis of these samples taken from deep monitored wells in the aquifer indicated the presence of synthetic chemicals like glycols and alcohols consistent with gas production and hydraulic fracturing fluids. So, ta-da! It couldn't be something natural. They were synthetics! Oh, yeah. Also, benzene concentrations well above standards in the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act and high methane levels. Now, benzene, as you know, I'm sure all of these products to some degree, but benzene is a major cancer producing chemical. Now, the energy industry, you've seen these commercials on TV, so have I. They've long stressed that fracking and water contamination have never been definite or definitively linked. Of course, that's what they always say. That's what the tobacco industry said for 60 years. You know, well, they need more tests. Well, it's not, you can't prove a cause and effect. So a spokesman for Encana Oil and Gas, which bought the Pavilion Field in 2004 and drilled some of the approximately 170 wells there, said the EPA science in this report was, are you ready, inconclusive. Right. There's, what are you talking about? That's inconclusive. But we found all these synthetic chemicals that are used specifically in fracking in people's drinking water and aquifer and what they used to irrigate with and take back. That's inconclusive. Well, what would be conclusive? Don't try to confuse the issue. You work for Barack Obama, right? The science is no good. There's more that the spokesperson for Encana Oil and Gas had to say, and I'll share it with you when we come back. Oh, don't go away. You're going to love this. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. As soon as we start talking about this, all of a sudden the emails start pouring in. Kate in the desert, I've always identified her as, although she's lived all over the country, she is very mobile. Right now she's been working in Montana, I believe, volunteering. This is all volunteer work, volunteering to take veterans for treatment to a faraway VA hospital. But anyway, she writes, Mike, a few weeks ago, a rancher found 26 head of prime cattle dead a little bit north of me. News said that the herd died from an overdose of salt. OMG. Sometime later, it was noted that there is fracking going on up there, but no one will connect poison water to the fracking. The bastards are all over the northern part of the state. It breaks my heart what we are doing to Mother Earth. Kate. And Tim, different Tim in L.A., sent this piece to me. It's from High Country News, written by ProPublica writer Abraham Lustgarten. It's a lengthy one. Hydrofracked, one man's quest for answers about natural gas drilling. If you get a chance, go to ProPublica. And just, you know, type in their search engine, natural gas drilling, and get this article. It's very lengthy. But in scanning it, I will read it tonight. Also, the movie that I couldn't think of, the fracking movie, is Gasland. I don't know why I couldn't think of that, but thanks to everybody who wrote in about that, Gasland. And I think you still get that online. And Bruce Engberg writes, the frackers won't say what chemicals they're adding to the water they pump into these natural gas wells. They don't explain why chemicals are even necessary. It's all proprietary, don't you know? Apparently, in Wyoming, they use a lot of benzene. This also happens to be a chemical that is now restricted in gasoline. Putting it into gasoline was how they used to get rid of the surplus benzene after refining oil. It's expensive to incinerate in an environmentally safe way. Now it appears that they are getting rid of it by pumping it into the ground. This practice used to be illegal until Dick Cheney got it exempted from all regulations or disclosure to the public. It only gets disclosed now when it comes out of your faucet. And see, this is another reason why, I just wish Dick Cheney would hurry up and die. This son of a bitch has done more damage to this country than any one person I can possibly think of. Now, a little bit more, and then we'll come back to your calls about this or any other issue. Anyway, like I mentioned, the chemicals that they found in these test wells drilled at the site are all synthetic. They include benzene, glycols, alcohols, benzene concentrations above standards in the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. You know, I guess some of it occurs naturally. I don't know about benzene. I know nothing about benzene. But what the hell is a safe level of it? Oh, well, different topic. Anyway, a spokesman for Encana Oil and Gas, which owns the Pavilion Field and drilled some of the approximately 170 wells there, said the EPA science in this report was inconclusive. Yeah, I don't know what that does to you, but that makes me, I get shaky. I get so goddamn furious when I hear one of these capitalist pigs say that. The science is right there. It's like the tobacco industry. You know, the science is right there, cause and effect. Oh, well, the science is inconclusive. He went on to say, now listen to the arrogance in this son of a bitch, because he knows he can be arrogant. He knows the fracking is not going to stop. So here's what he says. What we have here is not a conclusion in the report, but a probability. And based on the facts, not a good probability. The guy's name is Doug Hock, H-O-C-K. He's the spokesman for Encana Oil and Gas. He said that enhanced migration of gas as a result of drilling was unlikely in the Pavilion field since drilling had reduced pressure in the underlying rock, thus reducing forces that can lead to gas seepage. Now, you notice how he's totally ignoring the fact that benzene was found and alcohol. Alcohol was found. Glycol was found. No, he said, well, you know, natural gas isn't coming out of these people's faucets. You know, deny something that you've not been charged with. That sidetracks the concern of people who are living above these fracking sites. He said, finding methane and benzene in two deep test wells drilled for the study is what you would expect in a gas-rich zone. He said, and Canada didn't put those there. Nature did. Now, the governor of Wyoming, you would think, would you not? I mean, I would. I don't know about you. I would think that a governor of my state, what am I saying? I live in Georgia. Strike that. The governor of Wyoming, Matt Mead, a Republican, also said in a statement that the EPA's conclusions were, get this, quote, scientifically questionable, end quote. You see how they all say the same thing? Every single one of these capitalist-owned pigs say the same thing. They don't give a goddamn about your land, your water, your air, your forests. They don't care about any of it. Time and time and time again, they demonstrate this. And yet, we the people, knowing full well that the Congress of the United States is a almost wholly owned subsidiary of capitalist corporate America. You can count the members of the House and the Senate or the Senate on the fingers of one or maybe two hands who are not bought by corporate America. Now, we all know this. There are 535 of them. There are 330 million of us. So why do we continue to allow these whores, no offense to real sex workers, who now operate the Congress of the United States, run by their pimps, in the energy and the financial services industry, to continue to do this? Why? Why do we do that? Why do we sit back? Well, that's what Bob Alexander said. It's what Chris Hedges says. It's what a lot of writers have been saying. You know, it's just, bah. It's what Prairie 2 says, bah. Bunch of sheep. Just walking slowly to the edge of the cliff. And the argument is not about why are we walking to the edge of the cliff, but at what rate should, what speed should we be walking to the edge of the cliff? This is madness. The governor of Wyoming says EPA's conclusions are scientifically questionable and not based on enough data. Governor Mead, a Republican, called for more testing by the EPA. Well, of course, this is what the tobacco industry did for half a century. Well, you know, those tests are all wrong. You know, you gotta do different tests. That doesn't prove anything. There's no cause and effect. What? Cancer? From our precious little product? No. Nicotine's not addictive. How long ago did they say that? What was it? 8, 9, 10 years ago? Every one of those filthy, filthy, murdering sons of bitches that run the tobacco industry in this country, what was it, 6, 7, 8 of them? Mike Papantonio, whose program Ring of Fire is heard on a lot of stations around the country on Saturdays. He was one of the attorneys who got a settlement for the states from the tobacco industry. But there they all sat, lying through their teeth. This is what capitalism does. It will look you in the eye while behind your back they're cutting your children's throat and the blood is slopping on your pants cuffs. And they will stand there and say to you, no, no, we're not doing anything wrong. Where's your kid? I don't know. He was around here a minute ago.
entering a flying monkey-free zone. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour here. Anyway, closing this up, EPA links tainted water in Wyoming to hydraulic fracturing for natural gas. That's the headline in the Times. And there's much more about this. You can find all sorts of articles about this particular topic. John Fenton, chairman of the Pavilion Area Concerned Citizens. These are the people who are taking it right in the solar plexus. You know, the energy companies come in. They don't care about people like John Fenton or his family. They don't care about men and women and children who live in these communities. They don't give a goddamn. There's no reason to. You know, if somebody dies or their property becomes worthless or people get sick, that's just collateral damage. I mean, that's just the price of living in a system that is so corrupt. If you don't like it, leave. I remember years ago during, I guess, the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. Remember the bumper sticker? If you're over a certain age, you remember these. America, love it or leave it. America, love it or leave it. Right? Don't fix it. Don't improve it. Don't make it rational and reasonable. Just love it or shut up and get out. And you know, a lot of people still feel that way. But anyway, John Fenton, the chairman of the Pavilion Area Concerned Citizens, said, quote, "This investigation proves the importance of having a federal agency that can protect people and the environment." Wow. What is this guy, a communist? I mean, he lives there. He lives in Wyoming. He lives on the land that's being destroyed by this filthy energy company as they do this filthy process of destruction. He went on to say, "Those of us who suffer the impacts from the unchecked development in our community are extremely happy the contamination source is being identified." Fracking. So anyway, from the suburbs of Denver to Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, all over the country, natural gas reserves, known about for a long time, but previously unreachable, are now being tapped. Are now being ripped into. And the consequences to the people, and God only knows what they're doing in a geological sense. I don't know. Maybe nothing. But doesn't it stand to reason that when you start doing a process like this, injecting fluid and gas and chemicals deep into the crust of the earth, I don't mean it's going down 10 miles. Maybe it is. I don't know. But when you inject this stuff in order to cause pressure that will force gas out. I mean, just the law of conservation of energy takes effect here, doesn't it? Or action reaction, or the first law. What is that? The first law of thermodynamic, or Newton's moat, or gravity, or bird droppings, something. But the industry will tell you, no, 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 nothing. Move along. Nothing to see here. I've said it before. I've said it again and again and again and again. How much more of this are we going to put up with? I don't know. Maybe an endless supply of it. Maybe we'll put up with it forever and just shut up and go about the business of seeing everything cut down, dug up, burned, destroyed. You know, and then just crawl into I don't know, our homes or a cave or a hollow tree and wait until we die. I can't understand this. The science is wrong. They say that about everything from the chemical destruction of the planet to, just go down the list. The science is wrong. The scientific method is wrong. There's no such thing as a fossil record. Michelle Bachmann still talks about that. Of course the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Of course Adam and Eve played with dinosaurs. Of course they did. There's no fossil record. When the fossil record for this planet goes back millions upon millions upon millions of years. But you just deny it. It's the Nazi thing again. The big lie again. Oh, don't say that word, Mike. Oh, my goodness. Tell the lies. Keep telling them. And eventually the people believe them. Frank in Colorado writes, if fracking is so benign, why has the whole country of France banned it? Well, maybe because the French want to have drinking water. I don't know. I don't know. Bruce writes, the damage that fracking does to the earth isn't that much on a geologic scale, but there is that game you play with the stack of blocks, pulling them out one by one. Frack enough blocks and the stack falls down. No, it won't end the planet, but there won't be any safe drinking water to be had, except by buying it. Capitalism at its best. Oh, man, it just, I don't know. And then there's this. A bill yesterday in the Republican House of Representatives, a bill to ban a farm dust regulation. Not a bill to ban farm dust, but a bill to ban a regulation about farm dust. Passed the House yesterday on a party line vote of 268 to 150. Now, it's a regulation that the federal government doesn't have and has never proposed putting together. But the Republicans, they named it the Dust Regulation Prevention Act of 2011. And its lead sponsor was a Republican from South Dakota named Kristi Noem. And the reason she introduced this bill, it was to stop the Environmental Protection Agency, them again, from writing a rule that would require farmers to take steps to control dust from their land. What? But Lisa Jackson, how'd you like to have her job? The EPA administrator? She has said repeatedly that there is no such rule in the works. The Obama administration had, who knows where this came from? What the EPA does do is review ambient air pollution standards every 5 years as required by law, a law passed by Congress, well, back when Congress had a little bit of sanity. And then the EPA makes recommendations on whether or not to tighten standards. Representative Diana DeGette, a Democrat of Colorado, said, quote, "We have spent an entire day debating about a bill that does not address an existing problem." DeGette said, quote, "This entire session of Congress has felt to many of us like a trip into Alice's Wonderland. To paraphrase the Cheshire Cat, we're all mad here. I'm mad. You're mad. You must be mad, or you wouldn't have come here." Well, sadly for the American people, this bill, this this bill simply underscores the madness of the Republican Party. They're goddamn insane. I mean, by any standard, they are now passing laws to bypass regulations that don't exist. Ah, but wait. Republicans said that although no rule exists or was proposed about farm dust, they worried that someone might file a lawsuit someday to regulate farm dust. Now, this is insanity. This is madness. Ed Whitfield, a Republican from Kentucky, said, quote, "We know that many of the environmental decisions in America today are made by individuals and groups that file lawsuits." What? That's exactly what we're afraid is going to happen in this instance. What? But wait. Democrats pointed out that this Republican bill does not actually address farm dust. No. Instead, it defines something called nuisance dust, which essentially is soot or other, any other particulate matter. Oh. An early version of the bill would have allowed the inclusion of rural power plants and incinerators in the definition of sources of particulates exempt from regulation. Language was added to leave out such sources. And that's when the Republicans sprang into action. Now, do you get it? An early version of the bill to ban a farm dust regulation would have allowed the inclusion of rural power plants and incinerators in the definition of sources of particulates exempt from regulation. Language was added to leave out those sources, but the measure still would bar regulating things like open pit mines and asbestos mines. An amendment that would have required mines to remain under regulation failed. Now, the measure is unlikely to move in the Senate unless, of course, the Republicans control the Senate after the next election. And Democrats complained it was a waste of time. House Minority Whip Steny Hoyer said, quote, "Once again, House Republicans are wasting the Congress's time on a bill that has nothing to do with creating jobs or dealing with the pressing issues that confront us before the end of the year. The farm dust bill is merely, no pun intended, a smokescreen for Republican inaction on legislation that's really important." This is just, I don't know, man. But you see, it's presented as, okay, we're going to vote against a possible future regulation regarding farm dust. But when you take an actual look inside the bill, which you and I don't do because, well, I don't know, are we privy to it? Do we have a, I guess we can find it if we can dig around. And then what? We write our member of Congress, our member of the House and say, vote against this. Oh, that'll work. That's like notifying Bain Capital that its Clear Channel station should not disappear all the liberal talk show hosts. That'll work. No. What you are required to do is shut your goddamn mouth and sit down. Because, first of all, you're not going to know about the bill. And secondly, you're not going to know that the real intent, the real push by these murderous corporatists is to make sure that open pit mining and incinerators that burn God knows what and nuclear whatever waste products, that they are not regulated. But let's call it farm dust. Wow. And the thing is, this goes on day in and day out, week after week, month after month, slowly, insidiously, until finally the few decent people who are left in Congress say to hell with this, and they leave, to be replaced by whomever corporate America selects. You want to be a member of Congress? All right, let me see. You like guns? You hate the EPA? You think women ought to shut their asses up and stop complaining about the fact that we don't allow privacy between them and their doctors? Okay. So far, so good. What else, huh? You don't like any regulations? No EPA. Let the banks do what they want. All right. I think we can do business with you, bro. So, given what we've covered tonight, the fact that you knew this, that there are the 400 richest people in this country control more wealth than half the population. 400 richest control more than 165 million Americans. And that the six members of the Walton family can control more wealth than a third of the U.S. population. A third. Six people. Control more wealth than 100 million Americans. So what does that mean to you? Does it mean anything to you at all? Anything at all? And when you couple that with the fracking stuff I've just been telling you about, and the dust bill, does that mean anything? Before the hour, man, I don't know. It just feels like a rough ride tonight. You know, rode hard and put up wet. You know that expression? And we never did even talk, even get to tonight the climate change conference in Durban, South Carolina. email here from Jet Fixer. At the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Durban, it is becoming apparent that instead of making decisions, the global community intends to continue negotiating new climate goals until 2020. In an interview with Spiegel Online, Achim Steiner, the head of the United Nations Environment Program, calls the delay irresponsible. And Jet Fixer writes, Bob Alexander hit the nail on the head the other night. We are marching to the precipice. Hopefully a bunch of us will trip over our own shoelaces and figure out a way to survive. What did Bob Dylan say years back? Strike a match, start anew, it's all over, now baby blue. Yeah, we didn't even talk about Durban tonight, did we? You ever get frustrated? I mean, oh my God. That's why I really don't know why anyone listens to this program. Even our 38, audience of 38, I don't know how those 38 people can stand it. I really don't. If I were a radio listener, I wouldn't listen to this. I wouldn't listen to this program. What would I listen to? Well, we've got a couple of stations here in Metro Atlanta. The NPR station has about 6 hours of classical music every day. I'm not a great classical music aficionado. I mean, I can tell the difference between Beethoven and Bob Dylan, but I like it because it tends to relax me. And the classic rock stations are good. But talk radio, somebody asked me one time, did you hear what Tom Hartman said the other day? Or what, just named a couple people. Bob Kincaid. And I say, no, I don't listen to talk radio. I can't. Yeah, but they're liberals like you are, Malloy. They're progressive. I understand that. But I can't. Every right winger is just a complete sociopath, and under the right circumstances would pick up a hatchet. Right wingers would, these, like Beck or Limbaugh or Bortz, pick up a hatchet and run through a schoolyard whacking kids. They're insane. They're crazed. So who's going to listen to them? And as far as the progressives or the liberals, what the hell have they got to say? Or we got to say? What do we have to say? Well, apparently, I don't know. Maybe my 38 listeners gather here every night because it's a way of, like that old pressure cooker your grandmother used to have. You remember those things? And when the pressure would build up and that thing would start steaming and rattling, and every once in a while, though, you read about in the paper, one of them would explode. Remember that? Then you'd have one of those boiled dinners, ham and cabbage and carrots and potatoes all over the kitchen walls. Remember that, Kathy? You didn't have one of those, did you? Did you have one of those in your family? Pressure cooker? So, I get emails from people who say, yeah, your program is pretty deadly as far as not being all up-tempo and bluebirds and flowers, but it's a release valve. It's to know that there are at least 38, 39 of us who think like this and are concerned about these things. That's you know, that, I don't know, what is that? Misery loves company? Or in numbers there is strength? Or, we've got to hang together or we'll all hang separately? You know, what is that? I don't know what it is. I don't question it. I just know that over and over and over again, right-wing radio conglomerates continue to phase out any kind of talk radio other than hardcore neo-fascist right-wing. And the latest to do this is Green 960, for God's sake, in San Francisco. Now, if they continue to carry this program over the next couple of weeks, that's the end of it. I'm surprised that they're carrying us tonight, because it's difficult for me to just roll over and put my legs in the air and say, okay, they're moving us to an FM high definition, just like in Madison, Wisconsin, when that freakish program director out there moved us to the middle of the night. You see what I'm saying? Now, I guess I'm supposed to be quiet and just, you know. Yeah. All right, listen, it's Friday night. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kitty, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Some store.